God is good. He's good all the time. Now, I know other people know that besides Melissa, so let's try it again. God is good. He's good all the time. I thank God for everything that He's doing, everything that He's going to do. I realize wholeheartedly that some of you came up in here and you're agitated. Some of you come up in here and you're weary. Some of you came here and you're stressed. Some of you came and you're depressed. Some of you came and you're saying, God, what am I going to do? Some of you came and you said, God, am I enough? Some of you came and you said, God, have I gone too far? And I want to tell you that you have not gone too far. I want to tell you that God loves you. I want to tell you that God meets you today exactly right where you're at. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus and to have Jesus love on you. God just says, come, you who are heavy and you got a burden, I want to help you out. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. Why are we standing? We're standing because you know what? There are very few things that we can give Jesus, but one of the things that we can give Him is praise. One of the things that we can give to Him is glory and honor. I'm going to ask you to raise those hands. Boys in the sound booth, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Let's get that done. God, in Jesus' name right now, I take authority, God, over every single hindrance that would try to come over your people. God, instill this word right out of their hearts. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that the snare of the fowler, God, that it is broken. I come against depression right now that's tried to rest on these people, God, this week. God, for the person that they've battled in their mind, God, all week, I'm asking you right now to come up in there, God, and renew, God, what the devil has tried to steal out of their life. God, I loose right now healing power to come and rest on the bodies of these people, God, in their soul, God, in their mind, God, in that physical body, Lord, right now, God, I call that breakthrough forth, God, that's needed in the lives of your people. God, if there's families in here that you want to restore, God, I ask that you would restore them right now. God, if there's marriages and they're on the verge of disaster, God, I ask that you'd come in and do what only you can do. God, I pray right now for every single person, God, under the sound of my voice. You may be listening to me on streaming. You may listen to me on Facebook. You may listen to me on this app. You may be here in this room. God, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I release an anointing, God, where your sheep, they hear your voice. God, I ask that you would draw, God, the right person to them. God, put them in their path. God, let it be so. And God, I thank you right now, Lord, that this service, it belongs to you. So God, I give it to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone to Parish Christian Center this morning. You know, you are who you are. You can try to fake it. You can try to be like everybody else. But at the end of the day, you are who you are. And, you know, I always worry and I always think, what do people think about me? That's a worrisome thought. People either going to like this or they ain't going to like it. But at the end of the day, I guarantee you they'll know whether they like it or not when they leave the doors. I'm a very naturally loud person. And most of the time, what I would consider what I do is I preach and I hammer it in. You know, God's looking for people that's going to get a point across. He's looking for people in the last days that's going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to stand for you. God, I'm going to be loud. God, I'm going to be proud. God, I'm going to do the right thing, God. When nobody's looking, Lord, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to teach. There's something that's been on my heart. I know that there are certain very highly intelligent people, and they like to take notes, like my sister. I've never been a note taker, but teachers, they like to take notes, and I appreciate that. So if you're a note taker, you just get your little pen out, and you get your paper, and I'm going to give you some food for thought today because there's been something on my heart. And as I sought the Lord last night, He said, Kelly, I want you to minister on handling success. I've been blessed for the past 2.5 years to be a part of something that's changed my life, and that is Celebrate Recovery. And I want to tell you that if you're not here Sunday morning at 9:30 in the Celebrate Recovery meeting, you're missing out. I want to tell you, if you're not over at the Mark Bain Center on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, you're missing out. I was blessed to be a part of that. It was something that I would have never gone to in ordinary circumstances because I didn't think it was for me. But as I became a part of that, what I realized was that God was going to use that to change who I was. See, it's always the people that think they're too good. It's always the people that think, I don't need that. It's them ones. I want to tell you, I've been in the ministry my entire life. I was born into the ministry. And I'm really not a religious person because religion will hurt people. The religion will tell you, you can't come into church if you don't look a certain way. You can't come into here if you don't act right. You can't come into here if you don't... You have a past. And you know what? I want to tell you that, you know what? Whatever you've done, whatever you've said, whatever you're ashamed of, I want to tell you that you're welcome here. Amen? And so I want to minister about handling success today. I was sitting in a recovery meeting. This was probably about a year ago. And you know, the Word of God says, now you need to examine your life. If you judge yourself, you wouldn't have to be judged. Many people are getting it wrong because they will not take the time to self-reflect. You need to have a moment in your day where you self-reflect, where you look at this day and you're looking at it with God and you're saying, now, God, what did I do in this day that pleased you? God, where in this day did I blow it? God, where in this day could I have made you more happy with me? And I was sitting over there in that meeting, and I heard something, and it's been in my soul for about a year, and I've always known that I would minister about this, but the seed was planted over there a year ago. And I was just listening. I love to hear people talk. I'm a talker. I love to hear people talk. I love to talk. And it's a good thing, or I'd be in a really bad business if I didn't like to talk to folks. Let me tell you what, I will talk to you till you blue in the face. I love to talk. And Dad was talking, and he said something, and the moment he said it, it pricked in my heart, and it's been there for all this time. And he said, you know, we have to learn how to handle success. So I would like you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 today. And I am going to give you 5 bullet points that discuss and are going to come alongside you in your life, wherever you're at in your life, and they're going to be to help you, to guide you to having the ability to handle success. Let me tell you something. You ever got real far up in your life or your career and you got ahead of yourself and you got too big for your britches and then you fell? I've had that happen to me. We have to learn how to handle our successes. We focus so many times on our downfalls, on all of our failings. But we have to also know how to carry about ourselves and how to handle ourselves when we've had great success. Because the Word of God, it tells us, if you will be faithful with the little things, if you'll be faithful with the little things, God will make you ruler over much. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Have I drilled into to your brain today how important the little things are? See, because that's where your whole life starts. The little things. The little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, we're going to talk about a man, and his name was Uzziah. And Uzziah had great success. Why are we talking about success today? Because God wants to give you a greater success than what you've had. But you are going to have to learn and know and have wisdom on how to handle success. Because if you don't, you will have more failure in your life than you have success. God doesn't have failure for you. He has success and victory. But we have to know what to do with it. I see people fanning themselves. Brother Larry, turn that down, will you please? A couple degrees. All right, who's hot? Okay. Who's cold? Okay. See, let it be recorded that I do try to help people and make them comfortable. The problem is I'll have 37 people say, I'm hot. Then I'll have two people, I'm offended. You keep it so cold in here. I don't know what to do, folks. We're gonna sweat it out. I got about 20 pounds I need to sweat off. Glory to God. I don't know if that's how I'm going to do it. I doubt it. But we're going to talk about Uzziah today. And Uzziah had great success. He had great success. He became king when he was 16 years old. Okay? And from verse 1 to verse 14 or 15, it goes on and it talks all about the success that God gave this young man. But when we get to verse 16, we're going to shift gears because you know what? God's going to give you success. And if you want more success, you're going to handle the success that he gave you. You're going to handle it properly. Or what's going to happen? You're going to come full circle to the same fork in the road that you did last time. And you're going to get another chance to handle it differently. Okay? In verse 16, it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His pride led to his downfall. Your pride will always lead to your downfall. Your pride will always lead you to a failure. It always will. Every time. And it says, he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. And they confronted him and they said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priest to do, the descendants of Aaron who have been consecrated to burn incense. See, back then, only certain people could do certain things. And he thought, because of how powerful he was and how anointed that he was, he thought he could do anything that he wanted to do. Let me tell you something. You will always have an authority in your life that you're answering to. Every authority is placed by God, even the bad ones. You ever had a boss you didn't like? They were mean to you? They mistreated you? Every authority is placed by God. It'll teach you something. It'll build that character to help you to be a better person. It'll help you to build a thick skin. And so back then, only the priest could burn the incense. Well, he had become so powerful, he thought he could do it all. Sometimes we're in our life and we've had so much success that we begin to get too big for our britches. And we begin to do things that God did not tell us to do. And we think we're right just because we've had success. No. You best do the things that God told you to do, but you best stay away from the things that he did not tell you to do. Because what's going to happen is pride is going to rise up in you. And when it does, if you do not address that pride, it's going to overtake you and you're going to have a downfall. How many of you have had downfalls in your life? How many of you want some more? See, we ain't into that. You don't want no more downfalls. You want your life to be blessed by God, and you want to have victory in all the areas of your life. And so it says, here's these priests, and notice that they were afraid of him, and it took 80 of them just to have the gumption to go and confront one person. That's how powerful he was. That's how much of a reputation that he had. God had raised him up from the time he was 16 years old and gave him great success. See, don't tell me God don't talk to children. God talks to children. Don't tell me God doesn't put something in the hearts of every child. See, We're living in a nation where we're killing off babies and we're wondering about the coronavirus and why it's killing everybody. Let me tell you something. Don't get me on that soapbox, because I won't get off of it anytime soon. We got to learn how to handle success. So those priests, they all went in there. They say, look here, man, you can't be doing that. You know that only we're supposed to be burning that incense. And they said, leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord. And in that moment, he came down with leprosy and he died with it. He had to go out and he had to live away from people. See, you either going to do the right thing or you're not. You're going to have success or you're going to have failure. That's why the Word of God, it says, now you choose. See, people get mad at God and they say, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you make this happen? But really, baby, at the end of the day, you better be looking at yourself in the mirror and you better say, look here, Kelly, you better act right. Kelly, you better be submissive to Brother Jeremy because that's your husband, girl. Let me tell every girl up in this room something. Don't go marry a moron. Praise God. Because what you're going to get is a miserable life. Don't put somebody at the head of your household and you can't follow them, because you're going to have a miserable go. My daddy gave me a piece of advice when I was about 18 years old, and I followed it, and here's what it was. Kelly, you got to get married to somebody that's going to let you get away with a lot of stuff. He was right. Short of killing people, Jeremy lets me get away with a lot of things. But let me tell you something. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Because at the end of the day, there are few that are looking for it. Most people, they don't know how to handle success, so they don't keep success for very long. If people want to hear this hardcore preaching, the loudness of it, if you can bear it, I'm going to preach it, because at the end of the day, what's going to come out is the unadulterated Word of God, and it's going to be up in that heart. And if you'll activate the Word of God by being a doer and not just a hearer only, you're going to have a good life. See, God does not have anything bad planned for you, but you will wake up today, you will wake up tomorrow, and you will choose every day what you're going to have. Are you going to have a blessing today? Are you going to have a curse tomorrow? You choose. You make the choice. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. And it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. And that's the truth. When pride comes, and let me tell you something, even the humblest of folks, there's an amount of pride that wants to come along and see if we're going to snatch it up. So the first thing for all the note takers in this building is keep pride out. Keep pride out of your life. The moment that you want to be prideful of something, you better get your shovel and you better dig that out of your heart. Because see, before pride, you're going to have a downfall. It always comes. If you're going to be prideful, you're going to fall. Pride can't rest in the hearts of believers. God hasn't called you to be prideful. He's called you to be honest. He's called you to be real. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. You know, before I pastored, I had a very good, promising career in the medical field where I excelled greatly. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling it how it is. If you did a good job, you own it. I own it. But one thing I did that really messed me up was I got too big for my britches and I got prideful. I got too big for my britches. That's still a problem. Man. I have to work this corona weight off.
I'm getting disgusted every day. I'm like, oh my God, Jesus, help me get a hold of this addiction I've got with this food.
But I got too big for my britches, and I had a failure. Now, most pastors, they're not going to stand up and say, well, I failed, and this is how I failed. But I got prideful. I got arrogant. I got extremely haughty. How can I preach about that today? Because I've been delivered from it. Here's how I do it. When people want to compliment me or compliment this ministry, when they want to make a big deal about the things that they think that I am doing, look here, Diana. I keep myself in check because I never want to go back to that prideful person that I was. And I take the compliment and I take all of that and I immediately give it to God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. God, I'm going to yield to what you'd have me to do. God, I don't want to take the credit for God, but you very clearly did with this life. That's how I keep my success. If it's not how you keep yours, that's fine. But to your own self, be true. Know how to keep and handle your success because you want to have more of it. So I don't let things get to my brain to where I think, ooh, you're right. Now, I let one thing get to my head, and I'll tell you what it was. I was walking out of Walmart about 4 or 5 months ago, and I could feel somebody staring at me. You ever feel somebody staring at you, and you're like, I feel like I'm being stared at. Hopefully it's a good thing. I never know. They kept staring. And then we was walking out of Walmart together. They go, excuse me, miss, are you that new pretty blonde preacher? Now, that did go to my head just a smidge. I thought I could be called much worse. Yes, I am that pretty blonde preacher. I'll take that. I'll take it. But I try not to let nothing else get to my head. Look, I need all the pretty compliments I can get. You know what saved me through this corona? Jesus, paparazzi jewelry, and Sonic. I got more credit card charges on Sonic than I bet probably this entire town put together. Jeremy's looking at the credit card bill and he's going, oh my God, what? What are you doing at Sonic? Dude, every morning I've got to have that Dr. Pepper. And then when somebody irritates me, I got to have that Blizzard. And then it just goes on. And, man, that $5 jewelry, you get your earrings and your necklace. I mean, how can you pass that up? I don't know because I don't pass it up. And Jesus has taught me so many things that, Diana, at the end of Corona, you know what I can say is, God, I didn't necessarily like it, but thank you for helping me grow. Because I've learned a lot. So, we're in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, and it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Have you ever been disgraced? Disgrace is the thing that comes in and it makes you feel shame. Disgrace is the thing that says, ugh, I can't show my face. See, pride is what brings that on. That's why when you do something and you're not proud of it, Don't tuck your tail in between your legs and not show your face and be afraid of your own shadow. You own that. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, it was dumb. I don't know why I did it, but I'm not backing down. I can look that thing in the face and I can say, yes, I did it, but it's not who I am. See, everybody's sinned. Everybody's fallen short. When people can look at things that they've done and say, yeah, I did do that, but that's not really who I am. See, the devil's trying to define you by the things that you've done. God defines you by the things that he did for you. So keep pride out of your life. As Brother Jeremy would say, you better check yourself before you mess yourself. If you won't check pride, Pride's going to check you. And when it does, you're going to know it because you're going to have a fall. You're going to have disgrace. You're going to have shame in your life. Okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 20. And it says here, pride goes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Whoever can give heed to instruction will prosper. So we've got, keep your pride out. Keep pride out. Stay humble. Be humble. But I've got a question to ask you today. Can you take instruction? Or do you have to learn from experience every single time? Thank God for an honest person in here. Thank you, Doug. He's going, I'm right there with you, brother. Can you take instruction, or do you got to learn from experience every single time? Can you heed to instruction? Can somebody that loves you come into your life and say, now look, I'm going to give you some advice. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm not going to lie. It's a real toss-up with me, to be honest with you. Sometimes Dad will be driving around. He'll be looking at me. And what he's looking is he's looking to try to see what kind of mood I'm in that particular day. He goes, can I tell you something? I'm only trying to help you. Well, there's days where he can't tell me nothing. We're going to keep it real. Okay? You got your days where nobody telling you nothing. Praise God. Let's keep it real. No. No. Nobody telling me nothing today. Okay? Well, wouldn't it be great to take advice from the dude that did it for 30-something years? Well, I've had to learn some things the hard way that I could have learned the easy way. Now, we're talking about me because I can't stand up and talk about everybody because I don't set it in my heart to offend people. I do sometimes, but I don't try to. But can you take instruction? Can you take it? Or does that rebellious spirit want to rise up in you on a regular basis and you know it all? You figured it all out. That's a question. So it says here, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. How many of you want to prosper and be in health in your life? Learn how to take instruction. Learn how to put your ears back. Let God instruct you. The Word of God says, even at night, God, you instruct this heart. Couple mornings ago, I woke up and I had a very detailed dream about something that I have been trying to work out of my life for almost 3 years. It's the thing that I think about when I wake up. It's the thing that I think about when I go to bed. It's the thing that on a bad day, If I overindulge in thinking about it too much, it's going to get me in a sour mood. And I had a dream. And in this dream, it was so detailed, Diana. And God was showing me things about this situation that I've been hung up over. God, I can't let that go because of blah, blah, blah. And when I woke up, he said, Kelly, you can let it go because I've showed you the other side of that that you could not see in that moment. See, there's things that they've happened in your life, and you're sitting there and you're going, now, God, really? And you're asking God why. And God's saying, you don't know the other half of it. You don't know the other side. We have to learn how to handle success. Because if you stay in God's program, he's going to give you great success. And he wants to see if you can handle it. Can you handle instruction? Because God will give you instruction. It won't always make sense. It won't always be what you want to hear. It won't always be what you want to do. Won't always be where you want to go. Won't always be how you thought it was going to turn out. If there's anything that this old girl has learned in the past 2 years, Mama Brenda, there's some things that I thought was going to happen a certain way, and they didn't happen like that. And I was sitting there going, God, why did you screw up that envisionment I've had this whole time? You messed that up, God, and it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. And now I don't know if that's from you. Let me tell you something. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. When things fall into place for you and it's very clearly the Lord, learn how to just say, okay, God, I accept that. God, you wanted to bring change into my life? Okay. I'm going to yield to what you have. God, it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to. God, I'm still going to do the right thing. God, I'm going to go with you. God, I can't see 2 feet in front of me because I don't know what's going on up in this situation, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go. So it says here, and blessed is he whose trust is in the Lord. Blessed is he whose trust is in the Lord. When you can look at your life and you can say, here's a problem. And we talked about this a little bit in Celebrate Recovery this morning. When you're talking to God, you're giving God some explanations for some things. Here's a phrase that you know you're getting off when you say it. Yeah, but. God, I did about 95% of what you asked, but that other 5%, God, you're going to let me have that. No.
No, he ain't. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about your life in case there's any misunderstanding.
God don't want to hear your buts. God don't want to hear your buts. He just wants you to be real. He wants you to be real. When you're broken and you're sad, he wants you to say, God, I'm broken and I'm sad today. When you're stressed and you're weary, you want to give up, you say, God, I'm stressed and I'm weary and I want to give up today. Keep it real. Everybody's lying to themselves. Be the one that keeps it real. People say, why does she get so loud? Why does she preach like she does? Why does she say the things she does? Look here. Because I know there's a day coming when every knee is going to bow down. There's a day coming that every tongue is going to confess that He's Lord. And I don't got time to sugarcoat the gospel, because it's winding down. The devil's only got so many days, and I've only got so many days. That's why when we wake up, we pray the very thing that David said, God, teach me to number my days. Why? So each one of them, God, can be fulfilled by what you had me to do in that day. Learn how to handle success. So what we have is keep pride out. Check yourself. Stay humble. Can you take instruction? Can you take instruction? You know, I know people. I know a lot of people, actually, but I know people. When you look at them on the outside, certain things are very obvious. And you can look and you can see, okay, this person has a problem in this area of their life. I used to be a person that had an area, and it was the relationship area, Crystal, where every time I would get in a relationship, it was wrong. It was a part of my life that I did not give to God. Therefore, it always had failure. Okay? Learn to take instruction. Come to the end of yourself, because right to the end of yourself is Jesus. See, people think, I got to do all this stuff to meet Jesus. No, you need to come to the end of you. You need to step up to the plate, and He's stepping up to the plate, and He's saying, now look here, are you ready for happiness? Are you ready for victory? Are you ready for a good life? Come and follow me. And many people, they're going, yeah, I want all those things, yeah, but. No, there's no buts. You either are or you're not. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to get into the meat of this for a few minutes. And I know this is different. Some of you probably didn't think that I had it in me to not holler and yell. I do. And I can't help that I'm animated. If you can sleep through one of my services, I'm going to let you do that because you've earned it. The only one that can do that is Brother Sam sometimes and Brother Charlie. And Dad every once in a while when he really gets tired. So we're looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 21. And this is talking about idols, idol feast, and the Lord's Supper. But it brings out a very, very good point that I'm going to pound in. And it says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. And I want to tell you something. For every believer, you cannot drink from the devil's cup and God's too. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. What I see believers do is they come to God's table. They put their hands on God's table. They say, God, what's for supper? God blesses them. God nurtures them. God brings them forward. And they turn their back on God the minute that everything in their life gets okay. And let me tell you something, folks. That ain't going to cut it on Judgment Day. It's not going to cut it. You will not come to God's table, sit at His table, eat His food, and spit in His face. Many people, they want to cry, God help me. But see, they're crying out because they're in the middle of a nightmare. And there's no problem with that other than this. Don't just cry to God when stuff's going wrong. When is the last time you got on your knees and you say, God, make me a blessing? God, use me to change my community. When was the last time you stopped talking about your problems and you got on your knees and you said, God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you to help people. God, I ask that you to heal them. Amen. Man, there's people out here, they are hurting. They're looking for one person to say one thing to make them change their mind. People's killing themselves. This is going in a spiral downwards. See, don't be that person that's sitting there just playing church. No, get in there and have church. Get in there and be a part. See, you ain't going to sit at the table of God and play footsie with the devil. That's what a lot of people does. They're sitting at the table. It's like when you're in grade school. My kids, when I take them to a restaurant, here's what I know is up. They can't sit across the table from each other. Jeremy goes, are we ever going to be able to ever go on another date ever again where they ain't driving us crazy? And I said, I don't know. We ain't got this far in this parenting. I don't really, God, honestly know. I pray to God so, because they're driving me nuts. But here's what happens. Jeremy and I, we want to sit across from the table from each other, and we want to goo-goo at each other, and I just want to see how handsome he is. Well, them two dorks, they're over there screwing that up for me. I'm just going to keep it real. Here's what they're doing, Diana. Pow! And then the other one, he's reaching across the table. Bam! And then Jeremy and I both lose our cool right up in Cheddar's, and people's looking at us like we're child abusers. Like, look here, you take these little darlings home. You don't want none of that. And people sitting at God's table in there, they're playing footsie with that devil. Yeah, God, I want your goodies. But God, I don't want to go along with the whole program. It's the little foxes that will spoil that vine all up. It's the little things. A lot of us think, where did I miss it? You just went off and did a big thing. No, 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 no. Back it up. Go back. It was the little things. We serve a God of detail. He made us in his image and in his likeness. When we don't handle success right, what we have to do is we have to look at the small things that got us to that big failure. So you ain't going to sit at God's table all the time when you're just in trouble. Sit at God's table all the time, because it's the same God that says, I have prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. A lot of people think, yeah, I want to sit at the table with my enemy because I want to show them. That's how I used to think. And I'm not going to lie. You get me on a bad day, I'm going to think that. I'm going to have a relapse, and I'm going to think that way. But on most days, I'm saying, God, put me at that table with my enemies so I can do better. Do you want to do better by your enemies? Do you want to do better by people that have talked about you and been unfair to you? Or do you just want to give them what they deserve? The only problem with giving people what they deserve is then you have to look at your life and you have to say, now, God, what do I deserve because I did that? That's where you get your hang-ups. So it says you cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't have a part of that. There's a choice that has to be made. See, I've seen a lot of people, they come to Jesus, God delivers them, frees them up of bondage, gives them homes, gives them vehicles, gives them their family back, holds down their jobs for them, and the minute that they think they okay, they gone. Somebody said to me recently, where's so-and-so been? I'm not going to say what I said. It's not politically correct. But the gist of it was this right here. We'll see them when the crap hit the fan. Okay? Yeah, I said it. We all know what that means. Be somebody that's constant. Be a constant. Be consistent. Be consistent with God. Dad's always said this, and I always hated when he said it, till I started really thinking about it, and I get it. He would always say, now God is not some 16-year-old boy hard up for a date. And I used to think, what is he talking about? Well, it only took 35 years, but I get it. God's not hard up, but in the same place he wants your life. He's a jealous God. He's not going to have any other gods before him. When he says, I want your life, he wants your heart. He wants your affection. He wants it all. Last place for me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 58. And it says this, therefore, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is the last verse for today, and I want you to let this sink in. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. You want success? You want to know how to handle success? Stand firm. Stand firm. What is standing firm? Standing firm is the thing that once you get up there and you've got that success, you're going to handle it. And the way you're going to handle it is you're going to not lose yourself in the glory and all the praise and all of that. You're going to stand firm. You're going to be solid. You're going to be who you was when you started out with your attitude. A lot of us, when we start something new, we all, ooh, I'm nervous. Ooh. Look here, when you up in the middle of that thing for years, you be that same person in the beginning that was humble. God, I'm not unteachable. God, instruct me and I'll do it. God, I feel pride and it's wanting to come. God, I put it out of my life. God, I'm not going to just sit at your table and eat your goodies and then leave the table. No, God, I'm going to stay at this table. Lord, I'm going to love you in the good times. God, I'm loving you in the bad times because, God, I know you're with me through all of them. God, I thank you for every success. God, I give you my life and I make you the Lord over every failure because, God, you're the only one that can turn it around. See, be steadfast. Be firm. And so it says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let nothing move you. And some of us, what we really need is we need to be like a child. And we need to sing that song that we used to sing back in the day. And it goes a little something like this. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. What is the water, man? That water is Jesus. When you come to Jesus and you drink that water up, he said, if you'll drink the living water, you'll never be thirsty again. The problem with people is they taste of the Lord, they see that he's good, and then they turn around and they spit in God's face because everything got good. Don't do that. Because when you do, failure and downfall is waiting for you. You be steadfast. Don't be moved. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always. On the days you ain't feeling it. I have days where I ain't feeling it. I have days I don't wake up and I don't feel very Christian. Guess what that is? Tyranny, it's a feeling. Feelings come and feelings go. God, I ain't going off of what I feel like. Because if I did, Somebody be in prison by the end of the day. But God, I'm going to go off what you said. I'm going to go off of what you said, God. So it says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so the last point is give yourself fully. You want to handle success? First of all, recognize that God gave you that success. He and He alone. He gave it to you. He gave you success. Know that what you're doing is not in vain. There's so many people and they think, do I matter? Is what I'm doing matter? Yes, you matter. Yes, you matter. Always give yourselves fully to the work that God has you to do. So what we've looked at today is keep pride out. Keep it out. You don't want pride in your life. It's going to give you failure. It's going to cause you to fall. Keep it out. Stay humble. Stay humble. When you get to that point where you're in success and you're having great success and everything's good, everybody's bragging on you, stay that humble person. Stay humble. Don't get too big for your britches. Take instruction. Take instruction. God wants to instruct your heart on some things. Take His instruction. Don't be the person that has to always learn by experience. You don't want to do that. That's going to cause you some heartache. Number four, sit at God's table all the time. Sit at His table all the time. Number five, give yourself fully. Give yourself fully. There's many believers, and they say, yes, I love God. You ask people, they can all say that. It's more about what you do. Give yourself fully. If you've had areas in your life and you say, God, I keep coming up to this area of my life, and God, I keep failing. God, I ask right now that you would show every person, God, if they have one of these areas, Lord, right now I just loose the Spirit, God of truth, in this place right now to begin to rest on every heart. God, I ask that you would come in there, God. Lord, I know that they, when they leave today, they can leave here changed. They can leave here knowing, God, direction. God, I ask that you put it in that heart right now in Jesus' name. God, you don't want them to continue to have failure in that area. Now, if it's you that I'm talking to, I want you to stand up and I want you to begin to give that to God. If you've got an area of your life and you say, God, I keep coming up and I keep failing in that area. God, I don't know, I don't want to fail in that area, but God, every time I turn around, when it comes to that place, God, there's something and it's holding me up, God. And I don't want to fail in that, God, anymore. I want to be successful. And God, if you'll help me to get to that place where I have that success in my life, God, I'm going to keep that place this time. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, right now for grace in Jesus' name. God, for every person, Lord, right now, and they've stood up and they say, God, I've got a place. God, I thank you that you're coming into that place right now. God, you're perfecting right now. Lord, you're shining a light on decisions. God, different ways that we're going to handle things here on out. God, I ask you right now to impart that wisdom, God, that's needed to get success that they need. Lord, I speak breakthrough, God, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, provision and God, favor. Somebody just needs to know that, you know what, I validate you. Quit looking at other people. That's a part of what's messing you up. Stop getting people to, if they ain't happy with you, then it just, you're bummed out. No, Jesus validates you. Get that part out of your life that's causing you failure. Now, y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray a blessing. We do have some produce in the back. I hope that y'all can take some home. We're going to have Labor Day. Y'all be careful. We've got milk in the back. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for each and every single person, God, that's come to Parish Christian Center today. God, I ask that you would bless them, Lord, without measure, God, without limit. Lord, I thank you that you're keeping them. God, every place where they're hurting, Lord, I ask that you would heal them up, God, and restore to them, God, the things that the devil has stolen from them right now in Jesus' name. And we call it done. Amen.